It is the Unpacked Pod here on Acme Packing Company. I am Alex Patakis, not Zach Rapport, who is out today. He hopefully is not headed to the COVID reserve list like Justice Mosqueda spent his time on in the past week or so. But joining me today, I've got our... What was your new name instead of the corporate overlord? Or did we have a second name now because you're like co-lords?
I don't know. The big cheese. You know.
The big cheese. All right. We'll go with the big cheese. Tex Western joining the podcast today, helping me get through this as we go rudderless here through this body of wild card water. How's it going, man?
It's good. I'm fortunately, so far, knock on wood, have avoided getting any sort of sickness lately, so it's been sweeping through the APC staff a little bit. Like I said, hopefully that's not what Zach's got going on, but Packers seemingly getting guys off the list, which is nice, and yeah, looking forward to a nice stress-free wildcard weekend.
Yeah, stress-free football is always my favorite thing. I'm excited to watch that. It's a super wild card weekend. I think I made the mistake of calling it the wild card weekend. It's super wild card weekend, everybody, because we got bonus games for the second year in a row. So it's just three straight days of NFL playoff action, which is going to be great. I see there on our screen here in the Zoom room, which, by the way, had made me want tacos, even though I had tacos last night. That you got some, what is that, some bourbon there that you're drinking?
Yeah, you know me, I like to have a theme, so this week's pod bourbon is from Willett, because who will it be, right, that the Packers are going to play in the divisional round?
So that is clever. Yeah, I love that. Well, because I couldn't let the big cheese drink alone, and because wine is not as much your vibe, I actually have bourbon today too, because it's rare that you and I get to do a show together.
Yeah.
Where it's just you and I. So cheers to you, sir.
Cheers.
I'm just drinking like a regular old bourbon. I don't know. It's from Van Brunt. I think I had that last time I drank bourbon, which is down the road here in Brooklyn, but I try to drink local, as they say now, but when I can. Anyway, we are going to, you know, try to do this show as smoothly as Zach always does it, which normally we start with note nugs. The Packers beat the Lions 37, or excuse me, the Packers lost to the Lions 37-30 in a game in which Aaron Rodgers did not finish. Some might have thought he might have taken a little bit too much contact. Others probably were okay with the level of which he and Devontae and some other really meaningful starters played. Now, you and Justice recapped it very well. I don't think we need to go into it too much, but anything you felt like you didn't get off your chest on the repack pod that you've been marinating on over the past couple of days, or we pretty much turned the page on the Packers regular season finale?
Yeah, that game, I think by starting off saying that the Packers won, right, that underscores how memorable this game was, or how not memorable it was. So
yeah.
No, I got a note nug in a little bit, but nothing else to recap. It was and it's funny, for as exciting an ending to that game was, it still felt entirely forgettable.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and there wasn't a lot of good, 1 p.m. Eastern football on Sunday, because obviously they wanted to stack the most meaningful games all at 4:25, and then essentially a play-in game on Sunday night, but somehow it still felt like the worst one.
Yeah.
Like I was really tempted to kind of like check out what's happening in one or two other games, like the Colts falling apart,
right,
which was incredible. I know Justice doesn't ever stop shy of pointing out that the Colts traded a first round pick to get Carson Wentz and not make the playoffs. So like, I was really enjoying that. But you know, there was intrigue, because you wanted to see Adams break the record, and he did. And you wanted to see Jordan Love, which I don't want to steal any thunder before we get in any note nugs or any haikus or anything like that. So if we need to, we can always come back to Jordan Love. But we're in playoff mode right now, and we're not going to see Jordan Love take a snap for a long time. So I don't think we need to spend too much time on that.
The only thing I want to touch on was just the hilarious ending of that Raiders-Chargers game, with yes. the entire internet praying for an unintentional tie to knock the Steelers out of the playoffs. I mean, I was trying to will Daniel Carlson's field goal to go wide left or something in overtime just to find a way to get both of those teams in. Because first of all, right, the getting the Chargers in and getting Justin Herbert into a playoff field is going to be a hell of a lot more entertaining for fans like you and me of an NFC team, you know, watching with no horse yeah. in the race really on the other side, then watching the shell of Big Ben and, you know, shot putting 8-yard passes on fourth down.
Did you think the tie was going to happen?
I did.
Yeah.
I really believed it when it went to overtime, it started to be like, okay, this could actually happen. Then when both teams kicked the field goals in overtime, I'm thinking, man, you know, wouldn't it be great if the Raiders just sat on this and went into, you know, ran the clock out, you know, go into a tie, get both teams to overtime or to the end of overtime and into the playoffs. And even when they called that timeout, when Staley called it for the Chargers, I'm like, man, you know, they I don't know that the timeout had as much to do with the result as some of the narratives have been. I think fundamentally the Chargers still needed to get a stop in the ground, and they haven't done that really much all year. So probably still a good move by the Raiders. And if the roles reversed and this was an NFC game and the Packers had the ball, you know, with a chance to eliminate like the Vikings or Bears or something, you bet your ass that I would have wanted the Packers to go out there and win that game. So from the Raiders side, I get it. I get wanting to get the W and knock your divisional rival out. But it would have been just so much fun for everybody to see that scenario coming. And then for it to have actually happened would have been a lot of fun.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not a huge, you know, fan of just talking about what could have been. But I had one of the nearest bad beats of my life. And I also feel like it's becoming a thing now that I always have some type of gambling reference on this show. We need a sounder for that, Zach, when you're back. But I don't really have to do so coyly anymore because this was the first weekend and Saturday was the very first day that gambling was legal in the state of New York, which was like huge. There's all these promos and everything. And on Sunday morning, a friend of mine texts me and he's just like, why not? Because there's all these like free bet, you know, they give you all this free money to get you hooked. And he took a parlay with the Jaguars money line and the Raiders and Chargers to tie. And it was plus 21,000. So 10 or no, it was like more than that. So he placed a $10 bet on that. He would have won 21 grand on Sunday evening.
Wow.
If they would have just tied, which I'm like, I actually fell asleep before the end of that game. And I don't know what I would be more mad. Like I am, if it would have hit and I didn't take it, or if I would be more mad if I did take it and the result that happened would have ended up happening. So I'm just really glad that I kind of laughed that one off and didn't end up doing that. That's been incredible. Tragic. So yeah, that Sunday night was interesting. And then the whole game, like, I mean, the whole late afternoon into the evening was really interesting. I mean, we'll probably hit a little bit on the Niners later, but that Niners Rams game was, you know, crazy. A really good game, one of the better games that didn't involve the Packers that I've been invested in a long time. But anyway, let's get to note nugs here, which many of you all season have been tweeting in at the Unpack Pod on Twitter. Hashtag note nugs before we get to some of the ones that were tweeted in to the show. Tex, you want to kick us off and give us your note nug from the meaningless, boring week 18 game?
Yeah, you bet. And mine is that with Bakhtiari and Josh Myers back, who's the odd guy out on the offensive line? It's Royce Newman. Lucas Patrick moving over to right guard, keeping Dennis Kelly at right tackle. I think we all kind of expected that Newman wouldn't be one of the top five guys if they had everybody healthy. But then you saw when he came in the second half, he gave up a couple of big pressures on stunts again, like he's been doing all season. So nice to see the coaching staff, I think, accurately scouting the players that they have and putting the best five out there. And now, you know, we might get Billy Turner back for this next game, too. So, you know, do you play him at Kelly's spot at right tackle? I think that's probably what they end up doing and keeping Patrick out there. But, Myers can play a full game. That leaves Newman off the field. And I think a lot of Packers fans, myself included, will be very relieved to not have him covering one of those interior spots in the starting lineup.
Yeah. I don't root for guys to lose their jobs often. It's not that I don't want him on the team, but I don't particularly want him on the field in a playoff game. I think Kyler Fackrell is the only person that I was like, I don't want on the field or on my team, which, by the way, I had no idea. Like, he showed up on the screen on Sunday night. He's playing meaningful snaps for the Chargers, right? I think so.
Oh, man.
Who knew? He's still around. But yeah, man, I mean, it's such a weird position to be in, I feel like, for the team. I don't know how to feel about it, but like all these guys coming back, some have played, some haven't. Like Bakhtiari got those reps, which I think was honestly probably the right thing to do, even though it's been really wishy-washy on like what his real situation is. I mean, Jair is going to come in cold, but you have to assume, I mean, he's like CB1 the second he steps on the field in the divisional playoff game. And then you got guys coming off the COVID list. Like, coming into the season, I never would have thought that this roster is as deep as it's actually proven to be, even though it was a roster that was thought of to be like, you know, one of the Super Bowl favorites, I would say. It's pretty remarkable.
Well, that's all Goody, right? I mean, that's those midseason acquisitions that he's had, picking up guys like Rasul Douglas, the Devondre Campbell signing this summer. You still, you know, we've talked about it all year long, but you still can't say enough about that move. And I think our John Meerdink at APC said it the best. Like, I don't know why other teams don't just have a bunch of all pros come back for the playoffs every year. That seems like a great strategy. Let's do that.
Yeah, seriously. Which, by the way, Campbell and Aaron Jones, if that was a game of consequence, they both would have played, right? I mean,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
So nothing to worry about there. Although I will say, like, you can feel Campbell's absence. Like, I don't watch the film or anything, but just like, from the naked eye of just like watching on, you know, the television broadcast, you can tell, right? They're just a little bit different with, and obviously they're missing other guys too, but.
Yeah, Barnes is a step slower for sure at diagnosing the play than compared to Campbell. And he's a step slower at getting, you know, sideline to sideline as well. So I think it's both a processing speed and a game speed issue when you have that drop off.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. All right, I'll give you my hashtag note nug, which is less serious because it was a game of not a lot of consequence. But how cool does the St. Brown dad seem? I mean, like, they did so many like little features on Amon-Ra, who was just tearing up the Packers, Equanimeous. I didn't know he was a bodybuilder. They speak like all these, like, it, just learning more about the family and his father. Like, I really want Equanimeous to kind of just like have a breakout that Ben Foldy has been waiting for a really long time. I had no clue he was like this super well-traveled cultured dude who happens to be the son of a bodybuilder and the brother of, you know, a Lions receiver who was making me so angry on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, that family story is it's fascinating, and it was fun because both of them, they, you know, both the parents were there in the stands, and they clearly had jerseys that were made, somebody sewed together, you know, two different sets of, you know, the EQ and the Amon-Ra jerseys. I bet any money that Mrs. Brown is the one who did that, because I think she was a fashion designer earlier in her life before you know, got married and had the kids. And it was so clear because they were right along, like, they were sewn together right along the seams of where the current like NFL style jerseys come together. It was pinpoint. It was perfect. You know, you had the sleeve yokes and then, you know, one color and the body of the jersey of the other color. It was really great craftsmanship by whoever was the one who was responsible for those combined jerseys. That's about the only time when that's acceptable, as far as I'm concerned, having
You're
one
so
of those
right. Like, I think
jerseys.
That was like, I got multiple texts like in different group threads during the game about that, being like, that's the coolest combo jersey ever. It was 100% a professional job with someone with like a fashion sense, not just someone who knows how to sew or anything like that. All right. Did you want to go over any other hashtag note nugs from the people on Twitter at the Unpack Pod, Mr. Tex, who you can find on Twitter at Tex Western?
Yeah, there's one or two. I like this one from Glenn Hintz, whose note nug is just whatever. Hashtag note nugs.
Yeah. So that's accurate.
That pretty much covers it. Let's see. We had a Gavin tweets in, love sucks. Well, we can touch on that a little bit, but
yeah, I mean, you go into this game knowing he's going to play, so the excuse that we used when he was forced into action with Rodgers getting COVID is removed. But at the same time, you know, like, he's not, it's not like he came in playing with all the starters. I feel like both of them kind of don't count. And maybe that's just me being hopeful.
Yeah, you know, he threw those two picks in the 2-minute drill. The first one, I definitely don't hold against him because it got tipped at the line and Amari tipped it right into the Lions safety's hands. So I'm not going to give him, you know, too much flack for that first one. Second one, I think was probably a bad throw. But there were moments there where you saw the ability, right? The floater that he had to Tyler Davis that probably should have been a touchdown was a great play on the move, scrambling, kind of making something out of nothing and putting a ball where only his receiver has a chance to come down with it. It's just, for me, it's still the inconsistency that is so frustrating and is what you really would like to see improve moving forward.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of Amari, by the way, I saw there was a number of note nugs about, you know, kind of going after him pretty hard.
Yeah. Amari had a rough day. David Moore's off the COVID list now. I would not be surprised if Amari is a healthy scratch and David Moore gets the special teams reps in the divisional round now that he's back. He certainly looked far more natural catching punts 2 weeks ago. And yeah,
by nature of catching them. Yeah.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Yeah. That's about all it takes at this point. So, yeah, either that or we're going to get the phantom, you know, injured reserve injury for Amari sometime in this next week and send him down to, you know, to bring David Moore back or bring him up to the active roster or something.
Yeah. With a false positive. I don't want him to have COVID, but a lot of people are testing positive who don't. And a lot of people
I think he missed. That was why he missed the game that Moore came in for was he was on the COVID list. So I think he's probably not getting tested for a couple months, but
yeah, good call.
Yeah. You got enough guys there. You can make him a healthy scratch and elevate Moore for the playoff game.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly. Okay. Well, why don't we take a quick break? We'll get into some news and haikus. Always love an opportunity for you techs to show us your poetry skills. Maybe look forward in the playoffs and talk a little bit about the coaching carousel, some of which could impact the Packers. So we'll do that right after this. Back on the Unpack Pod, again on Twitter, at the Unpack Pod. If you're listening to this and haven't left us an iTunes review, please do so. If you've stumbled upon this podcast via iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, we'd love a review as well. Helps with visibility. All right, it's time for news and haikus. And Zach may not be here. He's not present physically, but he is still going to take us behind the beaded curtain into the spa where Tex is going to relax us all in the form of a haiku.
I'm going to imagine that I can feel the pleasant, dulcet tones of the spa music wafting over me. So, all right, here we go. Tampa still scares me. You may have the Cowboys dream, but fly, Eagles, fly.
Oh, no. Did you have a napmare this weekend?
No, I have a waking napmare. You know, every week that I, or every time that I think about last year's NFC Championship game, and I just do not want to see Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski try to carve up the middle of this Packers defense, especially with how rough they looked against the Lions and their receivers out of the slot. So talked about it a little bit on the repack, but man, it would be just something beautiful if somehow the Eagles were able to come up with an upset win down in Tampa next week and come into Lambeau for the divisional round.
Yeah, I think my dog agrees with you as he's howling now at the thought of Tom Brady coming to Lambeau and breaking us all once again. Yeah, I mean, Eagles are, I know they're a big underdog. I feel like everyone thinks that that's the safest like game of the week was the Bucs beating them. But I don't know, I'm trying to like draw up a scenario in my head where they can somehow pull off an upset. I don't know that I can do it.
Yeah, I struggle to find that pathway for them. It's going to have to be, you know, a couple of big plays on defense, big turnovers that Eagles defense is going to force. Maybe a defensive score or a special team score or something to get some big momentum going their way. Because they certainly, I don't think, are going to be able to hang with Tampa in a shootout. But their running game is so good. If they can find a way to get up, you know, 7 or even 10 points on Tampa, with how good that Eagles running game is, I think there's at least a chance that they can kind of slow the game down, or rather speed the clock up, right? Run off a bunch of clock with the ground game and find a way to get a win. Of course, Tampa's defense is great against the run, so that's the big problem there. But as far as the other matchups go, I mean, if it's all chalk, you're looking at one of the NFC West teams who play on Monday night, the Cardinals or the Rams, probably coming to Lambeau on a short week for a Sunday game. That doesn't suck either, as far as I'm concerned. Give them 6 days rest or give them one fewer day's rest and make a long trip and then have to play in the cold. I could be okay with that too.
Let's assume that the Bucs beat the Eagles, but let's say there's an upset and my napmare can no longer become a reality and the Niners beat the Cowboys, right? Would you rather that? Like, the Packers are a much better team than the Niners. I think they're better than the Rams and the Cardinals also. But Garoppolo played a really good game, but there was also a period in that game that was just full Kyle Shanahan mode, where the only pass thrown on a drive that got them back into the game was by Deebo Samuel, and it was a touchdown. And he was just like, if I don't have a quarterback, I will still beat you. I don't know. I think I'm scarred by the past maybe a little bit, but like, I don't know. Would I rather the Rams or Cardinals or the Niners?
The 49ers matchups are what scare me most. George Kittle, Deebo, this Packers defense has tackled well this season, but somebody like Deebo is a player that still gives me nightmares. Just maybe it's thinking of old Packers defenses that were terrible at tackling, because he's so good after the catch. He's so good at making guys miss in the open field. And that's, I think, what scares me more than anything. That and a tight end who can attack the middle of the field from on the line as well as split out wide as a receiver. So, of the three wildcard teams, San Francisco scares me the most for sure. Arizona coming into Green Bay again on a short week doesn't really scare me too much. I still say that I feel like the Packers have the Rams number, and I hope I don't regret that one. But just the way that those matchups work with San Francisco, I'm actually pulling for the Cowboys to take care of business this week just because of that.
Yeah, I am too. I think I agree with you. Of the NFC West teams, I would rather play the other two for sure. And also, you can never underestimate Stafford's ability to Stafford.
Yeah.
Which I was actually watching the game at my place with two good friends who are diehard 49er fans. They were obviously down 17-0, were like crushed. They came back into the game, and there was one point where I was like, guys, I've watched a lot of Matthew Stafford. There's going to be a mistake. And like, lo and behold, he throws a pick right away. And like you said, I think they kind of have the Rams number. I mean, Kyler at this point, because of just like how hot he starts and then kind of tails off, he doesn't necessarily scare me, but there's something about the Niners that I can see being like that team that got in late, is riding on a high, you know, it's just like, has been playing playoff football for weeks, right? Like coming into Lambeau. Plus like the Rams, I mean, like Cooper Kupp will probably have like 180. And they'll still lose, just kind of like how it was against the Niners, right? Because we also know Odell's track record when it comes to Lambeau Field divisional playoff games and such. Sure. So agree with that answer. All right, I feel like the anxiety's high. We're talking about teams that can beat the Packers. I'm gonna bring us back. We're gonna go back into the spa, smell the eucalyptus. Let us be present. The future can be scary, so enjoy the ride. The most unpacked pod haiku ever. Guys, let's enjoy this. Like, we have meaningless football that's super entertaining this weekend, as far as our emotions go. And then a Packer playoff run, maybe the last with Rodgers, probably not, unless they win and maybe he retires. Like, there was a period of time on Sunday where I was like, man, the Jordan Love era. I was like going down the road of, like, you know, years from now, what we're going to feel like on a Sunday when the Packers are like 500, it's nearing the end of the season. And I was like, something I'm trying to practice in my life in general is just being a little bit more present. And I feel like I'm always looking forward. And I don't know. I don't feel like I've like given myself enough time to properly get excited for the fact that the Packers go into this postseason as I still think the only really good team in the NFL, like with proven depth if they need it and healthier than they have been all season. Like, I keep trying to remind myself. So I guess, like, as much as I, in the previous weeks of this show, I've gone through and been just an anxious wreck, I'm trying here, guys. I'm trying to be like, this is where we are in this moment. We get to enjoy this. And they're also favorites to win. And Vegas gets a lot right. So, like, let's just kind of roll with that.
Yeah, I was thinking about it a little bit and trying to figure out, all right, when was the last time that we really had kind of a zen, like, enjoy the ride playoff run? And I think it was 2010, because that year they snuck in as the sixth seed. We're still early on in Rodgers' career. You've got a obviously a great defense, really a team that outperformed its record, that was better than a 10-6 record indicated. And they just went out and played ball, and it was a blast. And for me personally, that was my first year out of college, and so I was kind of on my own and doing my own thing and just having a good time, you know, being out in the world a little bit. And it was just that whole playoff run was an awesome ride. And I'm trying to bring those vibes back for myself personally for this year. And yeah, not worry too much about, you know, 2022 and beyond. So there's not that many things that bring us joy in these crazy times, right? So let's try to find it where we can.
Yeah, yeah, completely agree, for sure. And also, you know, I think, you know, last week we kind of talked about it and we were debating whether or not the Packers are like battle tested. And I think that that's a definite yes. You know, like, I mean, I think Ben said, like, have they really, something about, and I'm paraphrasing, but maybe if they haven't really overcome any like big challenge this year. And I just think, like, getting through this year with COVID, with injuries, with Yosh Nijman, well, he was unbeaten, right, as a starter for a while. He still is, yeah. Maybe. Am I incorrect? Like, at
Chiefs
left tackle?
Game, maybe, but still, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, that doesn't really count.
Well, and to that point, I saw somebody talking about why Mike Vrabel should be the coach of the year. And they talked about all the things that the Titans have overcome to the injuries and getting the one seed and beating three playoff teams. It's like the Packers have overcome all of that. Plus, they've gone 5-1 against current playoff teams this year. I think that's the thing that surprised me when I looked it up is their record against teams in the postseason this year. It's great. So the fact that they've played six games against teams that are still playing speaks to their the tests that they have had and the quality of opponents that they've played this year.
Yeah, I think, like, everything would point to that, like, that they are the most battle tested team in football right now. They also have the best record against the spread, so, like, they're beating teams they should beat by a lot. You know, they're beating teams that maybe you can consider it a toss up. So I feel pretty good about that. And speaking of, like, guys coming back and everything, we can do, you know, it's news and haikus. You can do the news. I guess we, all right. Like, everyone who's coming back into the lineup would be Jair, yep. Right? Unofficially, but, like,
he
will be.
Yeah. They would have played him if he practiced more this week. So him coming back on Friday was the only thing that kept him out of the lineup, I think.
Aaron Jones expected to play. Devondre Campbell, huge.
Yeah.
And then who's off the COVID list officially as of today?
Billy Turner's the last one. He was actually the last player the team had on the entire roster who was on the COVID list, and he's coming back. They just reactivated him today. So that's certainly a good sign for for this offensive line. You might have your ideal starting five, whatever that looks like, together for the first time this entire season. So let's effing go, yeah. Boys. Let's effing go.
And still a suboptimal starting five is really good. So it's a great problem to have, is to be like, who do we, you know, how do we get all these guys into the lineup?
And Randall Cobb's going to be back. You've got your third down guy. I think really like the MVS back injury coming out of Detroit is the only thing that really is kind of lingering out there now.
That would be a tough loss. I mean, I feel like I trust LaFleur and Rodgers to overcome that. Yep. But I mean, the obvious thing is that he kind of just brings one thing different to the table for all your other receivers.
Yep.
I guess other than Devontae, who brings all of it, really.
But I mean, they've been hitting on some deep shots, even to Lazard. The one touchdown against Detroit was a nice one.
He's been so good lately.
His consistency. There have been a couple of times earlier this season where I felt like he was fighting the football a little bit, having a couple of weird drops here and there. He hasn't had any of that lately. He's just been so solid. And you can play him inside, outside, just obviously everything he does for you in the running game as a blocker. He's so much fun to watch, and he seems like a really fun guy, and I'm really glad that he's on this team and that we get to watch him.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like almost once a game recently, I guess the best way I can describe it is that he catches a ball that I wouldn't have been mad if he dropped.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, he brings a lot. So I'm excited about his prospects in this postseason. I hope he makes a couple big plays in big spots, because he's also a fun guy to watch celebrate. He seems to have a lot of joy
definitely
when he's playing the game. All right, anything else we're forgetting here?
I just want to touch on real quick the coaching carousel. And
right.
I've got a little bonus haiku for you relating to that. So. If we get just a
it.
Really
I love
quick,
it. Extra zen.
Extra zen.
In these like winter go home times, it's much needed.
Virgie McCaskey, she's very disappointed. Bears will fail again. I don't know if anybody watched the press conference that George McCaskey, Bears president, had yesterday, but it was a train wreck. And he was asked what his mother, the owner of the Bears, thought about the season, and that was his response. Well, she was very, very, very disappointed, and said that in a way that only a mother could say. It's like, you could just imagine your 95-year-old grandmother, right, just saying, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed.
Yeah.
And so that was the vibe I got there. But Bill Polian's helping with their coaching and GM search, like the guy who wanted to move Lamar Jackson to wide receiver.
I've seen people also coming out and defending that, and okay, like, I'm not gonna like go after Bill Polian, but like how long can a track record like give you? Like, at some point it's everyone in the room is like, all right, that's like your crazy old grandfather, you know? It's just like, he made a lot of good decisions at a time, but those decisions don't like apply today.
Yeah.
It's like how. Ah, man.
You gotta adapt to the modern game. And I don't know that Bill necessarily.
I don't think
he
wants to adapt.
Do
it,
so.
Doesn't seem like a guy who wants to adapt. I mean, is there a coach they can hire that would not worry you, let's say, but be like, okay, you know what? Like, that's a good organizational move. Like, who is that guy that stands out? I think there's Brian Flores, rumors, right? Who some believe got unjustly fired.
That's the one.
By the Dolphins, I would tend to agree. And I kind of think that that's the guy.
Yeah, that's the one that would do it for me, that makes me think, okay, maybe this is something we got to worry about, because, he did some crazy things with that Dolphins team this year that had some really, really bad draft classes the last couple of years. So to drag that team to a winning record this year was, I thought, an impressive job. And it sounds like it was all like organizational dysfunction stuff in Miami that got him let go. I don't think it has anything to do with his ability as a coach. So he's the guy that would worry me. But yeah, we've got GMs and coaches out in both Chicago and Minnesota. Sounds like Minnesota's going to do their search internally. I trust both of these two franchises to find a way to mess it up again, though.
I just feel like, we are, as fans, like, yes, we've been spoiled. We've been spoiled with the quarterback play, etc. But we've also been spoiled by the other teams in our division ability to mess things up. And I would guess that's how Patriots fans feel, but like, I don't know if you can really say that about the Bills anymore because they've made a lot of good decisions. You could say it about the Dolphins and the Jets, but with the NFC North, we've been doing this for over a decade. Like, who's coming for the crown? It's just nobody. The answer is nobody. This is a really long reign, like, and it's not ending soon.
Yeah. I mean, there's a very good chance that the Lions might be the second best team in the North next year, the way this is going.
Yeah.
You know, Campbell's got them headed, I think, in the right direction, despite their record this year. That everybody in Detroit feels like this is a totally different feel out of that organization. So I'm not ready to say that they're, you know, going to be a contender anytime soon, but at least the arrow is pointing up for the first time in a long time, I think, in Detroit.
Yeah.
Ever since they fired Caldwell, it's just been, you know, back down in the dumps again.
Yeah. All right. Well, I feel good. You feel good?
I feel great.
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
Let's watch, watch some football this weekend.
Yeah, Zach's going to give us the polka here. We can dance to the music and enjoy the, you know, risk-free football. It's interesting enough. Well, it's playoff football, so it's always interesting. But also Packers stakes, you know, who they play. It's interesting enough to really make you invest. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm also going on vacation on Sunday, so I'll be watching it from a warm place, which I'm very excited about.
I will be in the same boat. I'm leaving on Saturday, so it'll be nice. Sitting on a beach, nice, sipping on a drink, watching some football.
Where are you headed? I'd love to run into you at like a resort somewhere or something. That would be really fun.
If you're going in the middle of the Pacific, we're gonna be in Hawaii for a little while.
Wow. So, oh man, yeah. No, that's great. I'm going to Mexico. Actually, I've never been to Mexico, so I am very excited about it, but awesome. It's a far closer journey than that's Hawaii. Well, enjoy that. Enjoy the football.
Same to you.
Thanks for pinch hitting here. Our squad. I would say you did better than Royce Newman. Probably better than Josh Nyman.
Man, I'll take that praise any day.
You know, maybe as big of a splash as Russell Douglas. You did. It was.
Let's not oversell it here.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We will talk to you next week this crew will talk to you next week, but obviously plenty more on the Acme Packing Company channel. Until then, enjoy the football.
And go Pack, go.